The rejection of God. That's what our readings are really about today. The rejection of God. We hear the people of Israel say in response to Joshua in the first reading about their great covenant with the Lord, we will be faithful to the Lord. Are they faithful to the Lord? No, they are distinctly not faithful to the Lord. Likewise, we see Jesus in the gospel today rejected by so many of his followers. They leave him. They no longer want to follow him. Why? Because of this hard saying that he has taught them about the Eucharist, about his body and blood. The Eucharist really becomes a kind of decision point, you know, the ultimate test, if you want. This is actually the first time in St. John's Gospel that Jesus' betrayal is mentioned in connection with the Eucharist. And of course, when does Judas carry out his betrayal? On the night of the Last Supper. So the Eucharist is, in a sense, the great test. Will we accept Jesus Christ, or will we reject Jesus Christ? And we see Jesus hurt here by his disciples' rejection. You know, you can almost hear it in the gospel after so many of the other disciples leave. Jesus turns to the 12. Do you also want to leave? Is that a shocking idea that Jesus would be hurt by the rejection? Is that not contrary to what we know about God, that God is beyond us, beyond being hurt? There's an old saying, I think it was coined by Saint Bonaventure, which says that God cannot suffer, but God can have compassion. Sounds a lot better in Latin, actually, because in Latin, suffer is passio. So it's passio sed, or non passio sed cum passio, right? God cannot suffer, but God can have compassion. He can suffer with us. That is what compassion really means. And that is the whole idea of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That because God could not suffer with us, he became one with us to suffer, to be rejected, to shed his blood for our salvation. One of the great apostles of the humanity of Jesus, the suffering that he endures for our sake, is Margaret Mary Alacoque, the promoter of the Sacred Heart devotion. And listen to this that our Lord said in a vision to St. Margaret Mary. He said, "Behold this heart, which has so loved men that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself in order to testify its love. In return, I receive from the greater part only ingratitude by their irreverence and their sacrileges, and by the coldness and contempt they have for me in the sacrament of my love. I come into you, the heart I have given you, in order that through your fervor, you may atone for the offenses which I have received from lukewarm and slothful hearts that dishonor me in the Blessed Sacrament." How interesting it is that our Lord teaches St. Margaret Mary that what hurts him most is when people receive Holy Communion in a sacrilegious and unfaithful way. How do we profane the Blessed Sacrament? Last week, we talked about, you know, of course, the unfortunate situation when sometimes people drop the host because they're not being careful in the way that they receive, and how we should examine, you know, our reception of Holy Communion, things like that. And that's certainly true. But really, especially since most of the time those things are not intentional, hopefully, there are much more common ways that we receive Communion sacrilegiously. And there are two ways. One, when we do not receive with faith. You know, we must receive Jesus in communion with faith in his real presence, the real love that he has for us. This is, in fact, why the Church does not allow communion to be offered to non-Catholics, because how can you approach the Eucharist if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, believe in the Eucharist as its true sacrament? And even for our Protestant brothers and sisters, many of whom could say, well, we believe most of the things that you believe about Jesus and about the Eucharist and those sorts of things, nonetheless, we don't believe all the same things. And when we come to communion, we are professing our faith not just in Jesus Christ as our heavenly King, but in the reality of his earthly body, the church. And if we are not in communion with the Catholic Church, then, asks the Catholic Church, how can we say that we are really in communion with Christ, our head? And so that is the whole idea. We must approach the Eucharist with faith. To approach the Eucharist without faith is great sacrilege and great harm to our souls. We've been talking about Eucharistic miracles during these weeks, and in fact, there is a great Eucharistic miracle recorded in the New Testament itself. I don't have the citation, but I believe it's 1 Corinthians either 11 or 13. We hear St. Paul say to the church at Corinth, "Some of you are sick and dying. Why? Because you do not discern the body when you gather to celebrate the Lord's Supper." What a Eucharistic miracle that was. The Eucharist killing people. In the very early days of the church, to show them how important the Eucharist is, how they must approach it with faith. That is a great sign, a great testament to the importance of the faith that we must have, that we must show to Jesus in Holy Communion. The second way, of course, that we can create a sacrilegious reception of communion is not just when we don't approach with faith, but when we approach with mortal sin on our soul. As we know, we are called upon to make a good confession, be free from mortal sin before we receive the body and blood of Christ. And of course you can say, well, what's the difference? Because, you know, once you've committed a mortal sin, like, are you going to go to hell twice more, you know, if you receive communion in a state of mortal sin? Are you damned twice? No, of course it doesn't mean that. But think about it from the perspective of faith. Hopefully, when we commit a mortal sin, we still have enough faith, enough good habits in our lives that we are sorry, that we're sorry for that sin. But once we've gotten to the point where we don't care anymore, where we're even willing to receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ separated from him in mortal sin, then, I mean, it's not so much that we're damned twice over, but the question is, how much more likely is it that we will repent? You know, once we've gotten to that point, there's a good chance that our consciences have become dull, that we will not repent. And so, again, it is a question of our faith. Why does Jesus suffer when we receive him sacrilegiously? Really, not because we're hurting God, but because we're hurting ourselves. And that is exactly what the incarnation means, that Jesus took upon himself our human nature to bear in it all of our sins. Every time that we inflict sin upon ourselves, we inflict suffering upon the heart of Jesus. And that was the message that St. Margaret Mary was called to proclaim through the Sacred Heart devotion, that not only is the Eucharist the place where we can, in some sense, hurt Jesus the most, turn away from him and reject him the most, but it's also the place where we can bring him the most consolation and joy and love when we express our faith in the Eucharist, receive it worthily and well. And so we have the great custom in the Catholic faith of making acts of reparation for sacrilegious communions. That we should receive the Eucharist with the intention to make reparation for those times when our Lord has been dishonored in the Blessed Sacrament. Many of you may be familiar with the practice that St. Margaret Mary called upon all to do, and that is to make the first nine Fridays. They call it the First Friday devotion. For nine consecutive First Fridays to go to Mass, go to confession, receive Holy Communion in a state of grace. Jesus promises that if we do this, then not only will his heart be consoled, will reparation for sinners be made, and there will be many conversions, but we ourselves will draw so much closer to him in love and be assured of our salvation. And so let us use this Holy Communion and every Holy Communion as that great choice, not to reject God, but to accept Jesus Christ, to suffer with him, to make reparation for him who has had such compassion on us. And so in that way, to use Holy Communion as a great weapon for the forgiveness of sins, for the conversion of souls, that the love of Jesus Christ manifested more perfectly in the Holy Eucharist than in any other sacrament, may truly be poured out upon the world.